said they can do anything they want to throughout the week. But when that ball come off that butt, feel whoever kicking us or them, they can't stop us. And it's only two words we gotta say to them, boy, man. We coming. We're bringing it down on that, man. Say it loud and proud, man. 1, 2, 3. We coming.
11-0.
Welcome to the Warbloggle podcast. What's this? Yes, a Warbloggle podcast. First actual sitting down, recorded, edited, all that good stuff podcast in years.
With absolutely no technical difficulties.
Zero technical difficulties at all.
It just, everything just worked. Boom. Like that.
As always. So yes, tonight we are going to kind of do, as long as the current Auburn coaching search doesn't end too quickly, which I suspect it will have at least another two more weeks of it, or a week and a half or so, maybe trying to start a series here of arguments for and arguments against kind of the top three or four coaching candidates. Obviously, everybody is talking Kiffin, Deion, Hugh Freeze. There's, you know, Dan Lanning and Jeff Grimes and all of them. But tonight, we're going to focus on Hugh Freeze, current Liberty head coach. I am impartial. In general, I'm impartial. Like, there are guys I really don't want, but they're not really being brought up, so I'm good. And there's a few guys that I would take. There's just not somebody that I'm sitting here going, I got to have this guy right now or my life's going to end. So I really am kind of somewhat impartial. But my part in this podcast is going to be the impartial mediator between, you've already heard him speak, Barning Man. He has written a few things on the site this year, mostly about Harsin and coaching candidate stuff. Gotten a good response there. He is going to be our four Hugh Freeze debater. And then we have Auburn Einstein, who the last time I did a sit-down edited podcast, Einstein was there. I don't want to say it was back when Jared Harper played basketball for Auburn. I think that was our podcast was talking about Jared Harper. Einstein is going to be against Hugh Freeze. Like I said, I am playing mediator. They are not playing a part. Barning Man wants Hugh Freeze or is good with Hugh Freeze. I'm not saying that's his top choice. And Auburn Einstein does not. So we're going to kind of take this in debate style, debate format, and just kind of let them speak. We're going to try not to argue over each other, but I'm sure it'll happen a little bit. And we're going to be cordial like all Auburn fans are. So, guys, y'all want to say anything first? Hello?
Hello, good people. And hello, Mr. Einstein. It's an honor. So I see you in the Discord chats and I'm like, oh, Betty's a nice guy. So good to finally talk to you. But here we are, like Bloggle said. So ready whenever you are.
Well, Bloggle will be the first to tell you that I am not a nice guy.
I was going to say that.
All right. All I need to know. Good night, everybody.
All right. Yes. So he mentioned Discord. Yes, I have a Discord. I have tweeted the link 4 million times.
Join
get
us
in there and join us. Exactly. We'll talk.
American band.
Make fun of each other, make fun of other people, all that. But all right, let's get into it. The case for Hugh Freeze. We're going to let Barning Man start. He is for Hugh Freeze. We're going to give him 3 minutes for an opening argument, I guess you'd say. All right, here we go. Go, Barning.
So, starting with what Hugh Freeze did at Ole Miss, which we can get more into later, in his second year at this program, which, by the way, is not anywhere near the levels of Auburn. I don't care what the media says. Don't listen to him. But he signed the number 5 recruiting class in his second year and took Ole Miss to a level where the offense was averaging 40 points a game. And he took Bo Wallace, who was a walk-on quarterback, I do believe, if I'm not mixing him up with someone else, took Bo Wallace and turned him into a 4,000-yard passer. They also beat Alabama that year. He did even better with Chad Kelly, Jim Kelly's nephew, so I'm sure that probably helped. But still, Chad Kelly was a cast-off from Clemson. He became a first-round pick darling until his second year where He got injured and just sort of fell out of the NFL draft altogether. He did get drafted. He was Mr. Irrelevant. So still, though, if you include Malik Willis, that's two cast-off backup quarterbacks Hugh Freeze has turned into NFL draft picks. So he's not hurting for an ability to develop quarterbacks. He's proven he's got an offensive prowess about him, and he knows how to get the best out of his players. And I don't think that was more evident than when Liberty went in and beat Arkansas. They beat Brigham Young, but I think all of us were kind of waiting, like, okay, if you really do know what you're doing and if you really do know how to coach a good football game, let's see you beat an SEC program. And they did. They said, bet. And they went down into Fayetteville and in front of the homecoming crowd, beat the Pigs. So I think he might be a safe hire, but he'd be a good hire if that's the direction he went, because he's proven that he can win in the SEC. There's a reason why he signed an extension in Oxford. He's proven he can beat Nick Saban. He did it twice, back-to-back in Tuscaloosa. He's proven he can develop quarterbacks and coach a good offense. And, you know, Liberty's, I know it's not like flashy, but the Baptist College in Virginia does have an offense, guys, that ranks in the top 50, according to the NCAA, in scoring. And that's not really impressive if you're an SEC school. But that's something if you're like a lowly little, you know, Liberty Flames college or whatever. So I think it's a safe hire, but it's one that would pay off big time, especially with the upcoming transfer portal window coming up and the recruiting window about to be shut down. So.
All right. Just under 3 minutes. Good to go. All right, Einstein, I'm going to give you your 3 minutes to give your opening statement. Go.
So I think we just need to define what we want from a head coach. Do we want someone that has like all scandals aside, Hugh Freeze has been nothing but average. Gus Malzahn on light even. He can recruit well, again, scandals aside, but Gus Malzahn could recruit well. Hugh Freeze, it seems like year in and year out, will find a game that he shouldn't lose, that he will lose. He beat Arkansas this year, great. What did he do immediately after beating Arkansas? He lost to UConn, powerhouse UConn. Now, if we want someone that can get the best out of their players, that is not good enough. Again, scandals aside, if you don't count, or if you do count all of the vacated wins, Hugh Freeze's SEC record at Ole Miss was 19-21. Do we want a head coach with a losing record? And you say, but yeah, but it's Ole Miss. Okay, great. They had one top 10 finish. And then immediately after a 10-3 season, they go 5-7. Year before the 10-3, they were 9-4. He is Gus Malzahn light. He cannot put back-to-back successful campaigns together. He's proven that. And again, there's a game every year that he's going to lose. And if I know Auburn fans, like I think I do, it's not going to fly.
All right. Okay. Good stuff. So now,
so that's,
we'll, hold on. Hold on. Let me reset my counter. I'm going to give you 3 minutes more, Barney, to rebut all of that. Go.
So Gus Malzahn light. Is it just because they would lose a game that they should easily win? Or is it because of the similarities in recruiting? Because I think, you know, from what I've seen, Gus Malzahn could recruit if maybe a little bit better than Hugh Freeze. And, you know, Auburn can pull better players than Ole Miss can. So Gus Malzahn could recruit better players. But the thing I had against Gus Malzahn is it felt like there was a lack of urgency in development of the talent that we brought in. And it was kind of expected that they would evolve on their own and develop into their own player. And which, I mean, it worked for some, right? But never at positions of dire need. Whereas with Hugh Freeze, I feel like, you know, he didn't recruit outside of that number five recruiting class, you know, his second year. He couldn't recruit better players than Gus, but he knew how to develop positions better, namely the quarterback and the wide receiver. Like, Ole Miss has, I mean, it's still kind of carried over, even from the Matt Luke days. It's kind of become like the other wide receiver factory in the SEC outside of Alabama, because they've had Laquon Treadwell go. They've had both A.J. Brown and who's the other guy? DK Metcalf, freakishly big one. They were Freeze recruits. So, you know, I get it that, yeah, you're right. If he loses a game he shouldn't, it'll piss off the fan base. I mean, what fan base wouldn't be? But if he's able to do what he's done at Liberty at Auburn, which is develop the quarterback position a little bit better than we have in recent years, because we're not a good school for quarterbacks. I'm just saying, we've only had one 3,000-yard passer, Jarrett Stidham from Texas, in case nobody knew that fact already. And that's it. Everyone else, it just feels like every year we get the 2,500-yard dink and dunker. We get the 1,500-yard passer, 1,500-yard rusher. We don't even get a 3,000-yard passer. In today's college football standards, you need at least 4,000 to be competing for anything. And we've only had one 3,000 passer. And so, yeah, maybe he recruits similar to Gus, but I feel like he can get more out of the positions of need. And it is a gamble. Any head coaching hire is going to be, even if we hired Nick Saban, like, that's going to be a huge question mark, because, like, what if he died the next year after we hired him? You know, you never know. Maybe things would continue, like, patterns would repeat, like, he would continue to lose a game that he should have won, like he did at Liberty or Ole Miss. But on the flip side, the normal for, like, Alabama was, like, they would lose tons of games every year, and then they took a shot on Nick Saban because he had a pretty good record at LSU and flamed out as an NFL head coach. I mean, look what happened. So you never really know, and I think seeing what he's been able to do with critical positions of need and developing or getting the best out of those guys, I think it'd be worth a shot. And I mean, because of the scandal, like, let's go ahead and bring that into the picture. Because of the scandal, I feel like Auburn could get him sort of at, like, a mid price, not like top tier, like, we're not talking $9-10 million like if we offered Kiffin. Probably something similar to what we offered Harsin. So
your argument, I think, is,
all right, let's switch
to upgrade our coach. Your argument is we need to upgrade our coach, and we can do it by taking a discount. I feel like if we want to compete with the Alabamas and Georgias and now LSU, we don't need to be bargain hunting for a coach. If we're also going to talk about recruiting, Hugh Freeze has been at Liberty since 2019, and these are his recruiting rankings: 99th, 101st, 114th, and then right now this year he's 82nd. Can he recruit? I mean, that just to me does not sound like an elite recruiter. And the immediate argument is, well, it's Liberty. Okay. But if he's this recruiter, I expect to have all three classes in the top at least 90 and not going backwards. Now, you can say he's turned it around this year, but is 82nd really that good? If he's this amazing recruiter, is that what we want to say is an elite recruiter? And then, can he recruit better than Gus Malzahn? I mean, I think either during this season, this summer, or the previous summer, Auburn was getting roasted on Twitter because Gus Malzahn had a better recruiting class than Auburn, like in the top 20s and top 30s at UCF. Now, I'm not comparing UCF to Liberty. I understand that they're different in the pecking order of NCAA football. But I think Gus Malzahn is far and away a better recruiter. And talking about developing quarterbacks, I don't really think it's fair to say that Gus Malzahn missed on Malik Willis, because Malik Willis has come out and said, I didn't have my head right. I had to leave. I wasn't doing things correctly, and then had a reset and then lived up to his potential. Gus Malzahn put Jarrett Stidham in the NFL. And then there was this other guy that Gus Malzahn coached, Cam Newton, I think was his name. I think, again, he's Gus Light. I don't know any other way around it. And that's all I got.
All right. I'm impartial again. I really do see both sides, and I'm normally never like this. I do see both sides. Would it kill me if Auburn hired Hugh Freeze? No, I don't know that I would absolutely love it. And I guess I'll just give you my two sides of it real quick. It feels very much to me like the Bobby Petrino, Gus Malzahn, or there is no two sides to this, but when we were looking at Bobby Petrino or Gus Malzahn in 2012, it feels like that a little bit, to where there's a lot of baggage, whether it's real or he's, he's a changed man or whatever, whether it matters anymore or whatever. There is a lot of baggage. There is a lot of stuff to be made fun of. There is a lot of other stuff to go along with hiring him. And that's how I felt about Bobby Petrino. And the biggest thing was back then was, forget that stuff. Let's stop being holier than thou and being on your high horse. I just want to win, and he can win. Like, that's where my little say on Twitter, I just wish we'd worry about winning. It came from that, because people wanted to ignore his motorcycle girlfriend and leaving the Falcons, leaving everybody a note on their locker room, on their locker, and all this other bad stuff that made a lot of people kind of say he's a crappy guy. They just wanted to ignore that to win. And then the same arguments were being made. It was, well, he's winning at Arkansas. He's recruiting at Arkansas. He doesn't have to play Georgia every year and all that kind of stuff. It's not near the level of dropping down to Liberty, but it was more of that. It's not the same standard at Auburn, so he's going to seem better over there. And then it was, well, if he can get those kids at Auburn, at Arkansas, imagine what he could do at Auburn. So, I mean, it's all these arguments that y'all have made and that I see on Twitter. It's really almost the same thing. It's like the same guy. That's the offensive guy who scores a lot of points and who makes a lot of good quarterbacks, who has good receivers and got some crap in his background that we would really don't want to think about. So back then, obviously I was way against it. Like, I was staunchly against Petrino. It had a lot to do with me really wanting Gus at the time, which Auburn did go to the national championship the first year with Gus. So I'll say I was right about that. But it feels the same to me. So it feels the same to me in a sense, but it does, for whatever reason, I'm 40 years old now. That was 10 years ago. Doesn't bother me as much. Like, I feel like if we hired Petrino, I'd be bothered. Freeze does not bother me as much. And I don't know why. Maybe I'm a more forgiving person. Maybe I don't care as much as I used to. But I could really honestly be okay if he was the coach. I know I wouldn't love it, but at least as a hire, I would kind of be okay with it. But I do agree with Einstein on pretty much everything he says. And I do get what you're saying, Barney. He's got good things. He has been around some teams that shouldn't be that good that are good, for various reasons. You know, he'd made Ole Miss good. He might have been cheating, or he might have been doing other stuff, but they were good for a time. Now, I remember back then making huge jokes about, you know, wow, I'm so amazed. You know, they got in trouble. So I was like, wow. So the team that had never finished higher than fourth in the SEC West is all of a sudden contending, or has the number one recruiting class or whatever they had. Wow. I can't believe we didn't realize they were cheating. Like, it was pretty obvious. So I don't know. I'm not here to declare a winner on debate. I just wanted to hear the debate. And again, I agree with both of you in different ways. But I do want next quickly for you to kind of give me something you agree with on the other side, or, you know, maybe it may not even be anything that you said to each other, but you know, what's something, Barning, like what's a reason you don't want Freeze, or you could see why a real reason not to have Freeze.
So kind of to Einstein's point, there is the argument that maybe we have seen Hugh Freeze at his best. Like maybe that's just 10 wins, a 10-2 year and a Sugar Bowl win. There's definitely a strong argument that maybe we've already seen the best there is of Hugh Freeze, and that's it. So unless you are Ole Miss and you're content with, you know, 10 games a year being as far as you want to go, then that works. But even at Auburn, like even if 10 games was what we won annually, there would be unrest because of the hump that we would never get over. So, you know, I do have concerns about, you know, which we kind of talked about this in the pre-show, how much of his recruiting was him recruiting or how much of it was him paying players? Because today you can pay players thanks to name, image, likeness. So I don't think that'd be a problem, but you do have to kind of wonder, like, is his recruiting really all that good, or was it his recruiting plus, you know, the money his assistants were offering under the table? And is he really just, you know, is he just better at finding castaways because he himself is kind of one at this stage than he is, you know, actual five stars and four stars? So there would be, that would be my only concern, is that, you know, we're not getting anything different from Hugh. We're just getting the same Hugh. And it's going to be fun at times. It's going to look great and competent at times. But then, yeah, there's going to be that one game where we're just like, how in the world did you lose on 4th-and-30 to Arkansas? So,
yep.
I can, yeah, all right. I can get with that.
Okay. Well, Einstein, what's something, what's a redeeming quality, or what would make you semi-okay if it did happen?
I feel like, I feel like he could be a good CEO hire. He could have a large influence, because I feel like Ole Miss had some pretty decent defenses when he was there, which allowed the offense to
land sharp,
have the ball a little bit more, and be able to put up some of the numbers that they put up. I feel like he would be able to delegate and lead on the offensive side.
Yeah,
that's another concern of mine. Like, if he comes here, how many stupid mascot names are going to follow him? That was him, wasn't it? The Land Sharks. He started that.
Yeah, I think so.
And
yeah,
now that's the mascot. That was him. Yeah, he's the reason they've got that doofy looking Starkist tuna cartoon roaming around on the sidelines.
It is sort of weird, and it may just have been, I don't remember exactly the coaching cycle when Lane Kiffin was hired there, but how Ole Miss is now, kind of, you know, they're the high-powered offense every year. And I guess it started with Freeze, and maybe they just got addicted to that style of football. And you see it a lot, and we're going to see it this weekend against Western Kentucky. Less talented teams run these type of offenses that end up, a lot of it was Gus Malzahn type stuff, where you're going to put up 50 points and you may not be the most talented team on the field. It's very scheme and one-on-one type stuff, and obviously spreading the ball and spread offense. But, you know, I guess that started with Freeze, which he probably started with Gus. But, you know, it's they have kind of continued that 40-50 point a game thing since Freeze was there. That could just be coincidence, because Lane is there now and he's always going to put up a bunch of points. So I don't know, it's just kind of,
yeah,
two coaches in a row Ole Miss has been able to throw up a ton of points. So again, I don't know. I mean, Hugh Freeze is definitely not my first choice I'd put him in a top five, probably, of everybody we've heard, top four. He's not going to blow me away. I do think it's kind of semi-safe, like you said, Barnin, but obviously there are a lot of – if I'm just going to be Mr. Auburn, you know, the guy that wants to win games but also cares a lot about other stuff besides winning games, and no Bammers, that doesn't mean I want to, you know, say the creed over winning a football game. I guess the other stuff does bother me a bit, and all for forgiveness. And obviously he's been forgiven, and his family's forgiven him, and he's at a Baptist college, like you said, and all that. But some stuff, you know, him coaching from the hospital bed and all that, that's just funny stuff that I don't really want to have to hear about, you know, on Twitter. This is that kind of stuff. So,
yeah.
Quickly, and I say quickly, I don't care if we go on for another hour, but I don't want to get it too much into another coach. But if we do a series of these, we'll have you guys maybe again, or possibly some other guys that have written or are on the Discord. Who is your number one, if it's not Hugh Freeze, Barnin? Who is your number one? And give me 1 minute why. Go ahead. Einstein, you go first.
It's in my Twitter name that I can totally change right now. It's Sean Payton right now. It's an outside the box hire. I think it is.
Let's go. He's proven
himself as a great coach. Can you get him to come to college? I think everyone has their price. Now the arguments against him is who's not going to want to recruit, and I'm going to look you dead in the face and ask you if Nick Saban wants to recruit right now. He absolutely doesn't. They wheel him out when they need to, and he trusts them to go get it, and Alabama recruits itself. Now, Auburn will have to do a lot of work, but I think it's possible. Like, he'll have to have a heavy lift in the beginning, but I think he can essentially get to the point where it's where they can bring him out when they need to. But I think his recruiting when he goes to a kid's house would be him laying a Super Bowl ring on the table and then all of Drew Brees' stats. And I think that's all he would ever have to do. And if you like scandals, he literally paid his players to hurt people. So there you go.
We could get Will Herring on here to talk about that. He was playing during that time. All right, Barnin, who's your number one if it is not Freeze? If it is, we'll just move on. But who is yours?
So there's this up-and-coming offensive guru down at University of Central Florida named Gus Malzahn. No, just kidding. Totally kidding. Love the Sean Payton idea. The only thing I have against it is that would mean he's not going to Carolina, and I need a spark of hope in Carolina too. I'm going to wreck this football season. I cheer for Auburn and the Carolina Panthers. I'm miserable in fall. I like the Sean Payton idea. My top choice though, it's a tie between Lane Kiffin and Deion Sanders, which I know they're the popular ones, but I picked Lane over Deion, and here's why. If we hired Deion and then the Florida State job became available, I 100% believe he would bolt and go take that job, and we'd have to start the whole thing all over again, which is why I had an issue with hiring Kirby, because I was like, you know, he could take the Auburn job, but then what if Alabama or Georgia becomes available? He'll just leave Auburn and go to that. So Lane Kiffin, I think he fits what the program needs right now. They need a master recruiter. He's the self-proclaimed transfer portal king, which I know we all made fun of it, but I mean, look at this. I mean, look at the product on the field. He's worked wonders with it. He's got Ole Miss in a good spot, kind of like how Hugh Freeze used to. He's got him in the top 10. This is the second year in a row now. Unlike Hugh Freeze, he didn't have to use money or whatever to pull in the recruits, because he is a good recruiter. He's the one that modernized the Alabama offense and kept that juggernaut rolling for another 5 years, which that might take a little bit to forgive him for, but Bill O'Brien's about to destroy it. So all's well. So, yeah, and I think he's got the swagger. I think he's very in touch with the fan base wherever he goes. You know, all I see is him. I see him posting about Ole Miss and coming to the SIP and hanging out with the students and just getting lost in the Grove. I mean, they found their punter at a frat house party. That doesn't get much more college football than that. So I don't have to worry about, you know, I don't have to worry about him buying into the program. I don't have to worry about him buying into what Auburn's trying to do. Like, no, he's hungry to win championships too. He's hungry to beat Nick Saban, his former boss. And I think after last weekend, he knows, like, he's going to be close but no cigar as long as he stays at Ole Miss. And so I think it's a perfect match for the two of them. Like, Lane could use Auburn. Auburn could use Lane. Hit up the transfer portal, get a few last-minute National Signing Day recruits, and, you know, just see what happens next year. It's we've got both our big rivals at home, so you never know. Auburn does weird things after down years, so
I will say,
thank you. You heard it here first.
Yeah, I wanted to start this thing with a Lane Kiffin debate, but I really can't find anybody that's staunchly against Lane Kiffin. So I kind of think that says a lot. It would be funny.
I can come up with like three reasons right now. Like right now.
Well, ready? Let's save that.
Number one, dude looks like Tosh.0. I can't take him seriously. I cannot take him seriously with that face. I just feel like I'm waiting for a joke the whole time. He looks like Tosh.0.
I agree.
I'll save the other two when we do the actual episode.
But I think it would be hilarious, though, if he does come here. You know, you mentioned him hating Saban, or I don't know that he hates Saban. I think he just really likes to mess with him and wants to beat him. He just thinks it's funny to mess with. But it would be funny if he came here to get into that rivalry. And then based on how Alabama's playing and maybe kind of how sort of looks like it's getting away from Saban a little bit in terms of discipline and whatnot, if he just retired this year. So then Lane comes here to try to get into that situation and then Saban's gone. So that would be kind of funny. All right.
If Lane Kiffin, if he is announced as the next Auburn head coach, if he gets up to that podium and says, yeah, I told them they'd have to carry me out of a pine box, I will lose my mind. Greatest head coach hire ever. If he gets up
there, there is that aspect. He would be I don't want to get too far into the talking about it, but he is going to be one of those guys that the funny Auburn Twitter, I don't know what you call them, but they're just going to love that aspect of him. Like, they want us to win, they want football to be fun and win and all that kind of stuff. They want Auburn to be good, but a lot of people are just going to like it because of who he is and how he's not so serious and all of that. And I get that. Just, I mean, I kind of like a guy that wants to push buttons and kind of thump the ear of Nick Saban and all that kind of stuff. So I don't know. We'll talk about that in depth, possibly, if I can find somebody who really doesn't want him. But anyway, all right, we've done a little bit more than 30 minutes, which is it's a good number for me. Do y'all have anything else you want to say about anything? Auburn football, Auburn basketball? Just as we close, anybody, Einstein, you got anything?
I'm excited about the basketball season. I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch them grow and develop together. And then that's it. That's all I got.
All right, Barney.
Yeah, I agree with Einstein. Basketball season's back. Bruce and the boys look rusty, but I have no doubt that they're going to have a great season this year. Always fun to watch Katie and Wendell go crazy. I'm also, this is going to sound weird because it's Auburn, but I'm actually excited about this coaching search. You know, I feel like the fans' voices of frustration have been heard. I feel like John Cohen's trying to swing for the fences and bring something bigger than just another good old boy coordinator in. So, you know, I'm excited to see what happens next. So it's it's just a great day to be an Auburn Tiger because of what Cadillac Williams has done. So nothing but good vibes all around in both programs, which is weird to say because one of them is 4-6. But, yeah.
Yeah, you're not allowed to be happy about six losses.
No happiness.
No fun.
you've got to be miserable like everybody, you know, that team that's lost two games over there. You got to be miserable like them.
It's because you have to show that you care about high standards, because in the grand scheme of things, if your favorite college football team is not the best, why are you living?
Like, Paul,
is there a Bama?
Paul.
No, I will say in closing, basketball real quick. It feels very much like Kentucky almost. You know, they're loaded every year, but the first few games are always kind of, this is when we like laugh when they lose to some little team that nobody's ever heard of. And then they're, you know, always going to be top two or three in the SEC. So we kind of feel like that kind of program now to me. We're not that far. We're not five stars in the starting five from top to bottom and everybody leaving after 1 year, but we kind of feel like we're moving in that direction, which is a good thing and maybe slightly a bad thing, but I like where it's headed. Yeah. We're going to get better, and, you know, Chance Wester comes back. That'll add a lot. We just got to find somebody who can shoot a three-pointer consistently. And, yeah, Cadillac.
Yeah, 100%.
Cadillac and I shared an English class for 15 minutes before he realized he was in the wrong classroom. So he, for one of my classmates to be a head football coach at my alma mater, that just, it's really cool. I think he's handled it about as well as it could be. He's saying all the things. One thing he said today that I absolutely loved was that he's not giving out individual awards anymore, like, you know, offensive lineman of the week or whatever, because the NIL is making everything too individualistic, and he just wants it to be more of a team thing. So we all know NIL's place, and I've come a long way on that in terms of hating it to not hating it. But that was really cool to hear him say that. All right. Well, I think we have adequately laid out all the points for and against Hugh Freeze. If you're listening to this, it will be on Spotify, Amazon Music, Apple, all that kind of stuff. So anywhere you hear it, I'll post it on the blog as well. Leave your comments, leave your thoughts on what you think. And if you'd like to just come talk about it, search my Twitter for Discord, and the link will be there. There's no simple way to just say, hey, search my Discord, because they make you invite people unless you're a public community. And I don't think we have enough people to be a public community. Anyway, nobody cares. Just search my Twitter for Discord and come talk to us about it. If you don't know what it is, it's basically kind of like chat rooms, but without the creepy guy trying to meet you. It's just, there's a bunch of channels for each sport, and you can jump in there and talk whatever. We have sports, we have other stuff, movies, music, scary stuff, because I'm a Halloween freak, and then, you know, just anything you can think of. So, Einstein, Barney, appreciate it, giving your time on this, what is it, Monday night. We'll get this posted. It'll be up on Tuesday, and we'll get everybody's reaction on Hugh Freeze and try to figure out who we'll debate next. So, again, appreciate y'all doing this.
Watch Lincoln get hired tomorrow.
I'm sure it'll happen. It will. That's how things happen in the content world.
Right when we post the first one, like, well, there goes that series.
Yep. All right, guys. I appreciate it. Y'all have a good one. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Warbloggle.com podcast. War Eagle.
Carnell Williams at the tailback. They'll hand it off to Williams up the middle. 25, cuts it inside. 30, 35, 40. There goes Cadillac. To the 50, to the 40, to the 30, to the 20, to the 15, 10. Go crazy, Cadillac. Go crazy.